Good morning. First of all, I want to thank God for this wonderful opportunity and privilege to share from His Word. And secondly, I want to thank the church and Mr. Ron and Pastor David and everybody here to give me an opportunity to share and talk to you from God's Word. It's always, you know, whenever I get an opportunity to share, it's always trembling. Because we are speaking and representing God, and we have to be in alignment with the Spirit of the Lord to say anything and everything that people will hear, because we are talking on behalf of God Himself. And so I just want to thank God for this wonderful opportunity. And so what I will share with you today is read in the scripture from Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 32. But I'll just introduce myself so that you may know me better who I am. My name is Arun Pasi, and I have come with my family. My wife is there. Her name is Anjana, and we have two boys, 10 and 12 years old, Daniel and Joel. And so we came to Canada 2 years ago, and we work with an MB mission agency called Multiply, and they have their office in Abbotsford, so we also live in Abbotsford. And I'm grateful to God that He brought us as a family. So it was a very big transition for us from India to Canada. Everything was different. Culture and everything is different. But in these 2 years, we have learned some very good things, especially some words which we use again and again. That's please, thank you, and sorry that we have learned. And God is shaping us, and we are the students of this new culture and context, and we are open to what God has in store for us. And because God brought us here as missionaries, so the role is very, very different. I have been into church planting ministry since 2009, and along with that, I was also an overseer for some pastors for three different states in North India. And so I'm a third generation Christian from a Sikh background. My grandfather was a Sikh fellow who was serving along with the Sikh priest in the Gurdwara or the Sikh temple. And so he was the only person in his family who heard the gospel and accepted Jesus. But believing in Jesus was not an easy thing for him, because he was kicked out of the family and he was not invited to any of the social or family gatherings. So until he died, he lived just as a faithful Christian, and there was no connection with the family. His brothers only came to see when he was on his deathbed few years ago. So that was the price that he paid, but that price is nothing in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for us. He left the glory of heaven and He came to earth for all of us, for all the sinners, for the whole world. So that's a little bit of introduction. We came in 2022, but the vision to come to Canada birthed in 2018, because we, as I mentioned, that we work with a mission agency called Multiply. We have some colleagues there who also live in Abbotsford, but at that point, they were missionaries in India for almost 5-6 years. And so I was also translating for them in one of the annual mission conference. And so they shared about the demographics and the statistics of BC, and especially the Abbotsford, and they said that 36% of the population in Abbotsford are South Asians, and majority of them are Punjabis. And there are not very many outreach programs and churches in Abbotsford that deal with the Punjabi ministry. And so that was the time, and in that time, already the Spirit of the Lord was stirring into my heart that we need to shift to some other place. But I was unsure of what that place is. Because in 2014, while I was working as a church planter in my hometown, we had planted 15 churches, and our main focus was on discipleship. And we had three to four generations of disciples at that point. And God told me in 2014, He said that now you leave all this ministry into the hands of the disciples and you move to this city that was in the southern part of Punjab. And so we moved, left our hometown and handed over the ministry into the hands of those disciples, and they worked hard, and now those 15 churches have turned into 42 churches. And so God brought us into that city in Punjab, but then He again, the Spirit of the Lord started to stir deeply into our hearts and spirit that now we need to leave this place as well, because we had planted some church there as well and had raised the disciples, and the Lord said that now you move. But we were unsure of what place that is. But when I was translating translating for this lady who was ministering there in India. And when she told about Abbotsford and the South Asian people there, but not very many outreach programs. So that was the time when the Spirit just gave me that this is the place where I want you to go. But I was very reluctant in sharing this thing with those people because I thought that it would be assumed that I just want to come to Canada. That is why, you know, this guy is talking about, oh, I'm feeling the Spirit is leading me. So I just didn't share anything with them. And I just kept quiet. But it was very unsettling. I couldn't sleep. I just shared with my wife. And it was very unsettling because when the Spirit is leading you for something and you don't do anything about it, it's very unsettling. It's very uncomfortable. And after a few months, again, those missionaries, they came to visit us and see my ministry and network. So we took them to various house churches and all the places where we had our ministry. And while one evening when we were coming back from the day's ministry work, I shared with them, I said, you know, there's something I want to share with you, that the Lord is leading me and our family to come to Canada for this missionary work among the South Asian community. And then both husband and wife, they looked to each other in awe and they said that this is something that the Lord is doing. Because they said that they had talked with our national director that we want this person to come to Canada. A few years ago, they talked about me. And they said that we don't want to pluck you out of your fruitful ministry here, and that's why we didn't share anything with you. But now, because you are talking this thing, we believe that this is the Spirit of the Lord leading. So that is how this vision was birthed, but it took 4 years for us actually to come to Canada because COVID hit and so many other things happened. But when we applied for the visa, then the Ukraine-Russia war started. And then again, our lawyer, immigration lawyer, said that it will take minimum of 6 to 8 months to actually have the processing of your application, and then we'll see how it goes. But then, when our application was submitted, within 5 days, our visas were stamped. And so that was, a confirmation from the Lord that Lord is doing all these things. And so here we are, we have completed 2 years in Canada, and so we are so grateful and thankful to the Lord for all that He is doing. He has done for us, provided a rented facility for us and everything. So we are very thankful to God for everything that He's done. And the churches have been so welcoming, and we have received that warmth because it was so different for us to be here. And when we came here in May 2022, it was raining for 3 weeks. And so I told my wife, God brought us here to reach out to the people, but there are no people here. There are only cars and there are houses. So we didn't see actually, and this is the truth, we didn't see anybody for 3 weeks. It was just the rain. And so we started to pray, and then God slowly opened up doors for us to reach out to the people in the community and to build up connections with them. But anyways, I just don't want to take more time on my introduction. I just want to be quick in sharing God's word, because this is a beautiful thing. I want to thank Pastor David that he said that you have around 45 minutes to share. And that's a great thing for me, because initially when I was invited, they would say, okay, you can share. So I said, how much time do I have? They said, 7 minutes. And I said, you know, this is impossible, because that's, you know, you're giving this time to an Indian pastor. And an Indian pastor, we forget the clocks. We don't look at the clocks. And my longest recorded sermon is 2 hours and 40 minutes. So you can imagine that a person who spoke for that long, how can he speak in 7 minutes? So here I am, and I just want to be respectful of the culture and the time. And let's begin. So Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 32 talks about Jesus when he's talking to the people. And he's saying that you do not worry about anything. Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink, how you will live. Do not worry about all these things, because pagans worry about these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you want. But what I want us all to fix our eyes on is the verse 31 and 32. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. But 32 verse says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. A few years ago, God started to put into my heart to see and read God's word and meditate on his word from a kingdom perspective. Because we've been raised with this mindset. We were a part of the Methodist church when we were young, because there was no other church. It was Roman Catholic church and Methodist church in our city. And so all we learned were the stories of Abraham, David, Moses, everything, and no actual perspective. It was a very small little church, and everything they wanted to do in faithfulness, but there was no role of the Spirit, never talked about anything. But we were very glad to live as a family. We all tried to live as good people, good Christians. But then a few years ago, when God started to talk to me, that study my word from a kingdom perspective, and then a lot of things started to change in my life. And so when I am speaking here today and the Lord put into my heart to share these words with you all, I will speak it as if I'm talking to myself first. So if you, anybody of you, the Spirit talks to you and you feel that this is for me, then you identify yourself with that word. But I want each one of us to be sitting with the spirit of confession and repentance and being ready to receive anything that the Lord has in store for us. Because all that God wants us is the transformation. And we are here to study from God's word. If we look from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, it even speaks that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added to you. It says, seek first. But then coming back again in Luke 32 verse says, your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This kingdom concept is very, very important. He wants us to understand God's word from the kingdom perspective. And the kingdom perspective is very, very different from the worldly perspective. Usually we base our definition of our worth on things that we possess rather than who we are. For example, you know, people talk too much about net worth. This person, this businessman, his net worth is this much. That is not his worth, because the worth from the worldly perspective is always about the property, the money, the bank balance, how much he owns, what he has, the property. But that's not the biblical perspective. That's not the kingdom perspective. God's perspective for us is very different. And because people talk about their net worth, defining them with their properties, the result is that people choose things and prioritize in getting it more and more. All people focus is how can we have more? How can we have it more? And we want to talk about kingdom because, again, I will say I will always talk everything that God put into my heart from what he has to say to me. So we are born in a democratic country, where we want to choose our leaders based on the things that they do good. That we think this person will be good for us. And so we'll choose him as a president or prime minister. But in the kingdom, the king is not voted. King is a king by his birthright. And so in the case of Jesus, no matter people like him or they don't like him, people reject him or they accept him, he will be king forever. And Bible says that we worship the King of Kings, and we are the kings, and he is the King of Kings. Why we are the kings? Because Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12 that those who believed in the name of Jesus, he gave them the right to be called their sons and daughters. And because we are born now in spirit as sons and daughters, we are kings and queens. Amen. And that is why it's very, very critical, very, very significant to think from the kingdom perspective. God is the king. And he wants us to understand that. Because in a country or in a kingdom, there are not two kings. There is just one king. And Jesus, when he preached for the first time, when he opened his mouth, the first words that came out of his mouth, what were they? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the person who just came before him, John the Baptist, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So there is something very important for all of us to understand, even in that time, and even for us, for the generations, whoever will come even after us. That we are talking about God who is the king. If we read the Bible from the beginning to the end, it's a story of a king. And it's the story of a royal family of God. And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it defines us even in a better way. He says that we all are chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation. And in this nation, the king is God. And God is the king. And there was a beautiful worship. One of the songs that you sang was that who else gave us this privilege to call him Father? The king of everything is our Father. In the Garden of Eden, I always think, and I share it often, that when Adam would have opened his eyes to see for the first time the world, he would have seen God. In whatever way, we don't know. But I believe he would call him Dad. He would call him Father. Because Father becomes Father only when he produces something. Otherwise, he cannot be called a Father. I cannot be called a Father if I don't have children. God spoke in the darkness and there was light. God spoke to the earth and the trees came. God spoke to the water and the fishes were formed. But when God spoke to himself, he made us. And so as trees cannot survive without the earth, as the fishes cannot survive without the waters, so we cannot survive without our Father. Because he said, "Let us make man in our own image." And so whenever God wanted to see himself, he would come and see Adam. And Adam called him Father. But when he sinned, he became God. God is a word that there is some supernatural, super transcendental, ultimate power that controls everything, that is beyond the control of human beings. The sun, the moon, the stars, and everything. We cannot control. There is a supreme power that controls that. And that is God. So that's a common word that's used by everybody on the face of the earth. But when Jesus came, his disciples asked, "Teach us to pray." And the first thing that Jesus said, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven." Jews would never pray to God as Father. And that was also one of the things that Jews complained about. And they said that he calls himself Son of God, and to God his Father, that he becomes equal with God. But when Jesus taught his disciples, that would have been a very strange prayer for the disciples, calling God the Father. So the relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden because of sin, Jesus restored that. Anyways, let's come back to our point. Luke chapter 12 verse 15 says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" Our net worth is not by our possessions. Our net worth is not by the property and the money and the balance that we have. Our net worth is who we are in and through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says that trusting on flesh leads to death. The mind that is set on sinful nature leads to death. But trusting on the Spirit gives life and peace. Jesus' first message is important. It's very important because when we say that Jesus is the Christ, that's what Peter acknowledged. He said, "Who do people call me?" "You are Elijah, and some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are the prophet. Some say John the Baptist came back again. Some says Isaiah," whatever. Then he said, "Who do you say I am? Because now you've been with me, you have seen me, what I say, what I do, how I live." And then Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We are not building his church. He is not building our church. He is building his own church. That's what he said. "I will build my church," but he wants that rock. that solid foundation that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And whoever acknowledges that, he becomes the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Church is not our final destination. Church is just the means that take us to the kingdom of heaven, to that destination. And so church is very important. We as a body of Christ, the church, we grow together. And we, even in our mistakes, we learn together. But church is not our final destination. But the kingdom of heaven is. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's very important. If we consider Jesus the Christ, if we consider Jesus the Lord, if we consider that He is the Word of God, then the first things, the first message that comes off of His mouth is very important. The first message that He spoke was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repenting from what? People were already trying to live very good lives. Praying, you know, so many times a day. Following all the rules, the Torah, everything. But still they needed repentance. Because it's not the outward law things that we do. It's all about the spirit. It's all about the heart. And even the last message, the great commandment that we say, the great commission that we say in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It says, go ye, therefore, to the world and preach this good news. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I have taught you. Repenting. So I come here with the posture of repentance every time. That Lord, if there's anything that becomes a hindrance in understanding you as a king and living a life as the kingdom citizen, remove all those hindrances out of our lives, Lord. Repentance is not just a word for sinners. Sometimes as Christian people, we just forget the word repentance after we are done repenting. It's not just a word for sinners. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a process. It's a system of realignment. And the words that he used this, it's as if Jesus is saying that use me as a reference. When I talk about the kingdom of God, use me as a reference and begin to adjust yourself until you find that you are aligned with me. Use me. See me. He chose his disciples. There were so many weaknesses in them. He's chosen us. Not just now, but before the foundations of the earth were laid. He knows us. He loves us. Repentance is a process that makes us Christ-like in experience. If we see Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, Paul says there, he says that I am like in the childbirth pains, and I bear that just so that you can have the image of Christ in you. Until all of you become like Jesus Christ. From childhood, you know, we've been taught, we've heard and learned this, that the basic necessities of human beings is food, clothing, and shelter. That is the basic necessity. And that's what we've been learned. I think it would be in every country, I don't know, but in India, it's always, you know, these are our primary needs. Food, clothing, and shelter. But Jesus says, pagans run after that. Do not worry about food. Do not worry about clothing. Do not worry about where you will live. And because we've heard these words so many times, sometimes we underestimate the value of what he has said. Because we have heard it from a Sunday school time. And those words are so familiar that sometimes we don't take a minute to think about what it is saying. In other words, if we run after these things, we are practicing paganism. He says, do not worry about these things. And I know this, as a human being, it's a very difficult challenge. How can we separate ourselves? Paul says, I've crucified myself with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We cannot cast out ourselves. We can crucify ourselves, but we can cast out the demons. We cannot crucify the demons, and we cannot cast out ourselves. But we can cast out the demons and crucify ourselves. We are called to be the kingdom people. 1 Peter 2:9, as we already mentioned that, he has called us the chosen people. We are chosen by him. We are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation, people called by his name. God did not start to make plans for us when we accepted him, right? He has made these plans for us. We are already in the plan of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Can we read that? Ephesians 1, verse 4. I'm sorry, I'm not a very technical guy. That's why I don't have things on screen so much. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will." He's chosen us before the foundations of the earth were laid. Such a privilege for us. God is not making plans for us when we pray to him, "Lord, we are in struggle. We are in this dark situation. We are in this critical time. We are struggling and going through this. God, no, okay, I'm hearing your prayer. Now I'll make this plan for you." It's not like that. We already are in his plan. He knows that. He knew us before we committed any sin, before we were even born. And Bible says, before the foundations of the earth were laid. How beautiful that is. Before even Adam and Eve were made or created. We were in the minds of God. And so if we were in the minds of God, he definitely has plans for us. In Jeremiah, he says that, "I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And in the end, I will glorify you." That's what he says. It's all about what we believe and how we believe. When I was a child, I would be standing on the roof and my dad would say, "Come, boy, jump." And without any shadow of doubt, I would jump because I know my dad is calling me. I don't use my experience. I don't use my knowledge. I don't mix my fear with that, with my understanding with that. It's my dad calling and I will jump. But when I grew up and dad says, "Come, son, come jump." I have so much knowledge now. It's difficult to believe. But Bible says, until unless you believe like a child, it's difficult. It's impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, we are talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about the church. Church is very important. But we're not talking about church now. We are talking about the kingdom of heaven. We are talking about that in this kingdom, there's one king and he's God. And that God is our father. He's our dad. Let's start living kingdom life on earth. Our assignment here as ambassadors is to influence the systems of the earth with the culture of heaven and not the other way around. When we came here 2 years ago, everything was different, as I said earlier. And there came a point where we think, our kids, they, you know, it's funny, our kids, they, we were driving at one place and Joe, the younger one, he did not know a single word of English when we came. But now he speaks English, and I'm thankful to God for our kids. And he was speaking in English, and I said, "Joel, it's wonderful you're speaking in English. It's so nice, and you speak like the white Canadians." He said, "Wait 6 more months, I'll turn white." And I said, "Don't do that." So there came a point where we think, "Oh, now who we are? Are we Indians? Are we Canadians?" And I always say, "I am neither Indian, I am neither a Canadian. We are nothing. We are the kingdom people." Because we all are missionaries. All of us are missionaries. I want to encourage you, the mission is not just overseas, it's also across the street. I met one fellow who said, "You know how easy it is for people to believe that we'll go overseas, that is our missionary place, we'll go there and we'll plant a church." the culture that we don't know, the language that we don't speak, but still we'll do that in Africa, in South Asia, in India. But when it comes to your own place, it's so difficult. God used persecution in the first century and it dispersed his people to different places, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But in this time, God is using immigration instead of persecution to bring people to our neighborhoods. And so now the mission field is not just overseas, it's across the street. And we all are called to be missionaries. Language and culture cannot be the barrier. The common thing that we have in us is love. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. And so that is what we are called for. Without living with the heavens culture, world cannot adopt that culture. It's not about speaking. It's not just about preaching or teaching. It's about living that heavenly culture. You know, Jesus, when the disciples asked teachers to pray, he said, "Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom, it should come or it should go. It should come here." We were raised with the mindset that, okay, we need to go to heaven. We need to go to heaven. But Jesus saying, no, you bring heaven here. Let your kingdom come to this place. As his will is done in heaven, so shall it be done here. Angels listen to him all the time. But he needs people who would listen to him and do exactly as the king says, as the father says. I always used to ask this question to the Lord. I said, Lord, just Adam sinned. Why this punishment for everybody? Adam sinned, you should deal with him. As a child, I always asked this question. But then the Lord said through Romans, he said, okay, one man's disobedience brought sin. And all are called that they are sinners. But then one man's obedience makes you righteous. Isn't that fair enough? Our righteousness is not that we read the Bible or we pray a lot or we are doing the fasting or we're doing everything, the righteous deeds. That's not our righteousness. Bible states clearly that our righteousness is Jesus. He obeyed the Father and he did exactly what he said. He said, Father, I do not do anything apart from you. Whatever I see my Father do, I do that. Whatever I hear my Father say, I just say that. And then he said, it is finished. I've done exactly what you've said, Dad. And that gave us righteousness. Amen. I just have three things to say. Steps to live a kingdom life. There are so many other steps too, but I have just scrutinized them to just three because I want to respect the time. First thing is, have the kingdom mindset. First thing, as kingdom citizens, when we know about that, he wants us to be a part of the kingdom. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. If that's the message Jesus has, we need to understand, what is this kingdom? In his kingdom, there's just one king. In this kingdom, the king owns everything. We do not vote him to become the king, and we do not vote him out that you are no longer the king, we don't like you. No, he will be king, he was the king, he is the king, and he will be the king forevermore. Amen? People believe him or no, but he is the king. And we have a responsibility to share that king to the world. So first step to live as the kingdom life is have the kingdom mindset. I was listening to one fellow, his name is Dr. Miles Monroe. He talks about the kingdom principles. He said that the lion is the king of the jungle. But he has that king mindset. When he sees a big elephant, he does not fear for his size. He knows that he's the king. The size of the elephant is much bigger than the lion. The strength of the elephant is much bigger than the lion. But when he sees the elephant, he just sees his lunch. He does not do the calculations about the strength and the size and those things. But we as the people, we say, oh, this Satan is trying to do this. This enemy is so strong. All these dark forces against. No, no. They might be. He looks like that. But he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So go ye therefore. That's what Jesus told his disciples. So we have to have the kingdom mindset. And Paul says, have the mind of Christ in you. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he was the Son of God. When people were stripping off his clothes, he was the Son of God. When people were flogging him, he was the Son of God. When they were spitting on him, he was the Son of God. When they were slapping him, he was the Son of God. When they put the crown of thorns upon him, he was the Son of God. When they put nails in his feet, in his hands, he was the Son of God. People were speaking against him, he was the Son of God. No one could change his identity. Nothing could change his identity. But then he died and he was risen back to life because he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. And so are we. We might be going through hard times. We might have the situations that we don't understand. As Pastor David said, that there are some questions that we don't have answer, but the only answer is Jesus. We might not understand all the things. And sometimes we are unable to even say to the public that, you know, it's so difficult sometimes to believe in God. Why is he not listening to me? I've prayed so much. I've fasted so much. But still I don't have the answer. No problem. But you have God in your life. You know that he's the answer. Deep in your spirit, the Lord has put this, that you know the truth. Because if you know something, you have it. Amen. Jesus' first preaching was repent. And repentance means change your thinking. Don't think that whatever you think is the only right answer. Change your thinking. You need repentance. We need to understand the kingdom concepts rather than the religious concepts. Oh, let me see the phone. Okay, there I go. Seeing God as your king, king of your nation. You know, churches have members. But kingdom has citizens. Members can come and go. They change. They change churches too. But the kingdom citizens, they are citizens. They have some natural benefits of being citizens. Seeing God as your king, king of your country. Seeing yourself as kingdom citizens. For example, Indians come here. So many other country people, they come here. The next step after coming here is, oh, now we have to apply for the permanent residency. They will strive hard. They will do everything that needs, you know, in the document-wise and all the other things, all the procedure in the immigration to become the permanent residents. After they have that, now they strive hard to become the citizens because, you know, this is a powerful passport Canada has. Because they know that if they become citizens, they have so many privileges, so many rights that they can benefited from. Now, this is just a worldly thing. Now, think about the kingdom of heaven, becoming the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You have all the rights and authorities being sons and daughters of the King, who's also our Father. And using Bible as the constitution of that kingdom country. This is the constitution that we have. So the first thing is have the kingdom mindset. Know your rights in prayer, in speech, in the way we live. That's the first point. Second point is living as the ambassadors of the kingdom. That is how we are supposed to live. Again, I'll say I'll talk it from my perspective. We represent as ambassadors of the kingdom here on earth. In India, we have a small province in the southern western part. It's called Goa. Maybe you've heard about that place, Goa. Goa in India is a Portuguese estate. Portuguese people lived there. But still, so many Indians who are maybe poor or maybe not do not have the capacity to travel overseas, for them, Goa is like a Western country. People would go for their vacations to Goa. It's full of beaches, more than 40 beaches in that small little place. All the architecture is Portuguese. Food is Portuguese. The lifestyle, the dressing of people is very, very different from the Indian outfit. People wear like the Western dresses you wear here. The language is different. They speak Portuguese, they speak Konkan, they speak English. Everything is different. So people think, oh, now they are in the West. But you know what? The reason behind that is, they did not take that piece of land to Portugal. But the Portuguese ambassadors came to Goa. All that they did was, they brought their culture to to this place. They brought their food, their language, their architecture, everything to that place. And till this date, you can feel the Portuguese environment there. And Bible says, we are called, if we read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. It says, this is when Paul is talking about the Moses, the glory. He says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. We are the representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are the people who are the ambassadors who represent that country where our dad lives. We represent our kingdom. And we are not voted into this position. The king has appointed us. Amen? The king has appointed us to be the ambassadors. We are not voted in. No one can deny your identity in Christ. If they want to say, let them say. Do not hear the words that are negative upon your life. You need to know that we are the kingdom citizens and we have the privilege and the right and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has given us that authority. As ambassadors, you live in another country, but you are not of that country. We have Indian embassy here. All they deal with is all those process work for the immigrations and all those things. They have their embassies here. The ambassador sits there, but he represents India. In the same way, Bible says, when Jesus is praying in, it's I think, John chapter 17, when he's praying for his disciples, at one point he says, Lord, thank you for these disciples that you have given to me. As I am not of this world, even you have given to me those people who are also do not belong to this world. And so are we. We live in this world, we represent the kingdom of heaven, but we don't belong to this world. And so, many places in the Bible, he said, do not set your heart on the things of this world. But the problem with human beings is that with our eyes, we see so many things. With our ears, we hear so many things. The tangible things we can touch. And so, we are more acquainted with the things that can be seen. But the things that are seen, Bible says, they are temporary and they are all perishable and they will be destroyed one day. But the things which are unseen, they are eternal. Amen. Third point is, develop right positioning with your kingdom government. Develop that right positioning with the kingdom. Now, Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. The word seek first means it's talking about the prioritization. And the good thing about prioritization is that you know now where you need to put your money, your efforts, your energy, your everything. That is what the prioritization does. When we prioritize the things, we know the value of that priority. And so Jesus is instructing his people, his listeners. He's saying, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So there are two things in this. First thing is that you seek his kingdom. Seeking is exploring, knowing it. This Saturday and the Saturday before that, I led two groups from different churches in Abbotsford on a South Asian Exposure Day, I call it. And we had the little orientation and talk about the Sikh belief system, their cultural practices, religious practices. And then we went to the local Sikh temple there, all white people. In both the groups, 25 to 30 people. And I said, you know, you are praying for a South Asian community, but you also need to know them. You would say that Punjabi people, you might not say to my face, but you know that they cheat, they lie, they do all kind of deceitful things. You would say, how can we love these neighbors? They are so bad in many ways. Their culture is different. Language is different. We are praying for them. The Lord, please have mercy on them. Save them. But you also need to know them. Why do they behave in the way they do? They don't have social security nets. We don't have child benefits in our country. We don't have any pensions for the old people. We don't have all those benefits. So the Indian mindset is, you know, you will cut corners from every side just to help your family. So those roots, the cultural roots that we have in our blood system as Indians, is that, you know, even when people come here, they have the same thing, same mindset. Save, how much can you save from the income tax? They don't want to do it intentionally, but that's how they are. And so, until you know these people, why they behave in that certain way, you will never be able to build bridges with them. So we went for those exposure days and it was wonderful. There were the Sikh priests who gave us the tour. They told us about everything, how they worship, why they worship, what they do, what are the teachings of the gurus and everything. And then we had the langar there. The langar is the free food service that they give 24/7. Anybody can go and take shelter there. Anybody can have the food there, free food. So we had a nice time there, trying to know that. So seek first His kingdom. Let's seek, what is God's kingdom like? And the second thing is His righteousness. And the righteousness means when you know that this is the kingdom, then you stay aligned with righteousness, with that kingdom. It's the example that I'll give you is, okay, 10 more minutes. Example is stopping at a red light. That is righteousness. When you see a red light, you stop. That is righteousness because that is in accordance to the law of that country. And when you do that, you are following the rules of that country and you're not violating anything. But say, for example, you go through, even in the red light, that is unrighteousness. And then that brings the fear in the hearts of the people. Even if they have gone through, they know that they have violated the law. And if they are in the cameras, if the police have seen, they will chase and they will give them the ticket. They know that because they have violated the rules of that nation. So that's how he says, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And righteousness is that when you know what your kingdom positioning is, now you need to stay in alignment in that righteousness so that all the things that God has in store for you, you can find those things and you can be benefited from those things. Even after having the knowledge of the King, even after knowing that we have the Holy Spirit and still we walk on the path that is not right, then we know that we are violating what God has for us. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are perished or destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Is that correct? Lack of knowledge. They are not dying, they are not perishing because of the lack of love. They are not perishing because of the lack of faith. They are perishing because of the lack of knowledge, and that is called ignorance. Now, I came to Canada, I drove in India 20 plus years. But when I come here, it's my duty. If I want to drive on the roads, it's my duty to go through that book that ICBC gives. Because if I'm caught, I cannot say, oh, I didn't read that. I'm so sorry, I don't have the knowledge. Ignorance is no excuse. And God has given us this constitution. There's a reason behind that. There's so many people who don't read this and they say only the Spirit is talking to me. That's not correct. He's given us the two modes of authority, His Word and His Spirit. And both can never be in criticism to each other. And so if we have the constitution, He has given us the law of the kingdom. He wants us to follow that. He wants us to know that. He wants us to spend time in this, meditate, read, study, and put it into our spirit, into our mind, into our heart. His people are perishing because they don't want to know what He has, what He wants to say. And that's the reason Jesus came. Jesus said, these people, they just have the law and they're just fulfilling the law. They're more focused on the law rather than the lawgiver. They respect the Sabbath, but they don't know that Sabbath was made for men and man not for the Sabbath. And so the Christ had to come. Righteous living is what gives us access to the resources of heaven if we live in their righteousness. John chapter 15 verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. And then in chapter 14, verse 15 and 17 says, if you love me, obey my commands. So know your constitution. Know your law book. The ignorance brings two problems. The first problem is that you violate the laws, resulting in the legal penalties and the loss of alignment with the kingdom government. That is what the ignorance does when we don't have the knowledge. And the second problem we face is that we do not know the rights and privileges as citizens and we cannot claim it. If we don't have the knowledge of what God has for us. As a child, you know, we've been raised in our country. There's so many other meetings, you know, prophetic ministries, this ministries, that ministries. But at some point, you know, there came a point where I would say, I want to go to that meeting where the prophet is coming because I want to hear what the prophetic word for me is, for my life is. Because that's the easiest thing. You don't have to live that prophetic life by yourself. You seek one or the other prophet and let him tell it for you. Let him live the all correct, righteous life, but we'll just be casual. In our life, wherever we live, we will have to blend into the culture where we are living and live the way the world lives so that we don't offend anyone. No, that's not the correct way of living. We are the kingdom citizens and church will always, since it was birthed on the day of Pentecost, church has always played a critical role. It will be offensive to some people at any point. So we have to be living the kingdom life, seeking first. That's the priority that we have. And I just want to give you this assurance that we'll never be ashamed. We'll never have to regret if we obey God with the childlike faith. Whatever God has said, we can stand on the word of God. You know, when we live on this earth, we are standing on this earth and we have the complete trust that this ground will, what to say? You know, I sometimes miss... the vocabularies. We can stand on this, right? We can stand on this. But if we see it, you know, in the bigger picture, this earth is hanging in this space. And still we trust this earth that it can hold us and we can stand on it firmly. But Bible says God created this earth. So the word of God is much more powerful and can be trusted even than this earth that holds us. Which is lying in the space, you know, hanging in the space without any support. If we trust so much on this earth, how much more can we trust on the word of God that created this earth? And so let's start practicing and living a kingdom life, having those privileges that we have already, and living with the childlike faith that the things which are impossible, it can be done. One thing I want to say in the end, and then I'll pray. I did not think about this when I was preparing the message. But I've met so many people. They say, my problem, my sickness, my cancer. Do not own that. Do not own those sickness, those diseases. You don't own them. But when you say it, our words are very powerful. If the words of God are powerful, the words of his children are also powerful. We do not own any cancer. We do not own any sickness or disease. God has given us the right to command them. Sometimes it may go like this, sometimes it doesn't. But still, use the rights and authority. And speak to the problems. Don't say they are my problems, no. Jesus never, he just used his principles, his kingdom mind, always trusting on the Father. He also came with, and Hebrews says that we do not have a high priest who do not understand us in our weaknesses. He went through thirst and hunger and everything. But he lived a victorious life. And so we are called to live a victorious life too. Bible says that we are walking in the parade of victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for this wonderful time and opportunity that you gave to your servant, to your child, to speak. Lord Jesus, I just want to glorify your name and thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. We meditated on your word. I'm not the teacher, Lord, you are. I'm not the church planter, you are. I'm not the missionary, you are. and we come in alignment with you, Lord. We ask forgiveness for anything and everything that is not pleasing to you, Lord. Your word says, you little flock, the Father has pleased to give you his kingdom. And so we receive that kingdom with gladness and joy, Lord. And thank you for calling us the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for the natural benefits that come to us as being the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you that we are not alone. You have given us the Holy Spirit. You have blessed us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have given us your word, Lord, to trust and stand the constitution of the kingdom that teaches us the way we should live. And your spirit that you have given to us is not the spirit of fear. It's the spirit of boldness and discipline and love, O Lord. So teach us to walk in that. Transform us, Lord, in the way that you have for us, the plans that you have for us, Lord. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing us before the foundations of the earth were laid. Thank you for this wonderful church family, O Lord. To you be all the glory, Lord. I just pray if there's anybody sick, he or she be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. If there's any kind of problem people are going through, any hardship, strengthen them. And if people are living a very victorious life, Lord, let them become examples for many, many other people. But use each one of us as the kingdom ambassadors to spread the culture of the heaven to the world that's full of darkness and sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.